100 miles from everything, just have just peace and quiet and able to study. And amen. She's my technical assistant here. You let me mess that stuff up, break it. Amen. But we're glad to be here tonight, and I hope you feel the same way. And boy, we sure do need to keep Brother Maurice in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Tell you the best thing he's got going for him right now. I'm sure he got great doctors here, but the best thing he's got going for him is people that are taking his name to the throne of grace.
Amen.
And then he can use all that other stuff too. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Amen.
You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that ever
song. There's a line there, it's in the chorus, it says, "All I have is yours, Lord." Some of you might remember several years ago, 5-6 years ago, we would come through and park here, and we'd preach over in Brooklyn, up in the Bronx, and we came by here on Wednesday night 3 or 4 times, and we used to have a Greyhound bus, and beautiful 40-foot converted Greyhound, and we run around the country in that thing for about 9 years, and down in Florida, 2 years ago, the engine caught fire going down Interstate 75. We were doing about 70 miles an hour, something like that. And boy, they yelled and said there's a fire, and it had burned through the engine compartment up into the bedroom where one of our daughters was sleeping. And boy, we were in a panic mode, got that thing over to the side of the road and got everybody out, and there wasn't nothing I could do. I put the fire, the tires were burning, and I put that out, and my little fire extinguisher was empty. And I stood there on the side of the road, and I reminded God that that bus was his bus, because there sure wasn't nothing I could do about putting that fire out. And we were 30 miles from an exit, and it looked like it was going to burn to the ground. So I just wanted God to know that was his bus. I know he could do something. And he didn't seem to be doing anything. And I was reminded when Job lost everything, because that was just about everything we had there. When Job lost everything, he just, amen, he just went ahead and gave God the glory anyway. And I was reminded of the passage in Job 1, and I said, God, this is all yours. And what you take today, you take. But I said, whatever you'll leave me with, we'll go on with. Boy, and that bus burned up, and my attention was drawn to the shoulder where my wife was, my daughter and the other daughter. And he said, I left you that right there. And we scrapped a $100,000 bus that day with no insurance and said, thank you, God, for sparing our life. And we got a little motor home and we kept on going because it's all his anyway.
Right.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's it. That's the message between those songs.
Okay.
Find a new song. Oh, you already did. Wow, I'm going to keep you. You're doing good. Amen.
My life I give to you, O Lord. Use me, I pray. May I glorify your precious name in all I do and say. May I trust you.
I believe that Deuteronomy 34, for the first scripture, we're going to start there and work our way forward. Deuteronomy 34 tonight, and let's read verse 9. The Word of God says this, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. It said there, Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Go to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Well, here's a verse we can amen. Job 14, verse 1. man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Amen. Joshua is full of wisdom. Job says that man is full of trouble. It's recorded in Esther chapter 3 that Haman there was full of wrath. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and let's look in verse 3. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Now here we got the heart of the sons of men being full of evil and madness. And then chapter 10 says this, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? A fool is full of words. Boy, I tell you what, I spend enough time on the street and all that's true. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23 now. I hope you're getting the pattern. Get a little bit of a pattern here, what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 23, now you got the Lord speaking in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. That's the correct order. You get the inside cleaned up and the outside will follow. And the definition of religion is just the opposite. And you try to make outward changes without anything going on the inside, and that's nothing. That's vanity. Verse 27, the Lord says again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What a nice, sweet, gentle, kind preacher Jesus was. I mean, we get upset with what we call hard preaching. There ain't too many of us that can handle the kind of preaching the Lord did. Of course, when you're not right with God, that's offensive stuff right there. It doesn't bother me a bit. Amen. It shouldn't bother you if you're not a hypocrite. Somebody said amen. Amen, that's good. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all wickedness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. No wonder they didn't like him. You getting a drift tonight? Amen. What I'm talking about, you've got people that are full of a lot of different things here. It says in Acts 9 that Tabitha was full of good works. That's a good testimony. In Acts 11 it says Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Acts chapter 9, go there, Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry, 13. Acts chapter 13, look in verse 10. Verse 9 and 10. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That's a love message if I ever heard one. Amen. And I'll read to you these last two and go on. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness,
maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. There's a lot of different things you can be full of tonight. And a lot of them aren't too good, and some of them are. And what it boils down to is it's your choice. Romans 15, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. And again, you got some filled with wisdom and the Holy Ghost, and some filled with wrath and evil and hypocrisy. Some of them are filled with faith and good works and goodness, and some of them were filled with iniquity and mischief and the devil. And the question tonight for you and the message tonight is this, simply this. What are you full of? What are you full of tonight? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do come to you once again. Lord God, we remember Maurice. Lord, may we not just file that under already prayed for. May it be continually in our thoughts and in our prayers. Lord God, I pray tonight for what's going on in here. I pray and ask, Lord, you'd take some simple truth from this message, and I pray it'd be a blessing to your people. And whether that's by way of reproof, rebuke, or exhortation, that is up to you, Lord. Give us receptive hearts tonight, and we'll thank you and give you the honor and glory for anything that goes right. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Very simple, what are you full of tonight? Now, how many of you remember back in the old days, I guess I'd call it the old days, when they had 3D movies and you had to have cardboard glasses to watch them? Anybody remember that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I never could. Really, that never worked for me. I wear glasses anyway. It just made it worse. I never got the real effect of that. I got a 3D message for you tonight, but you're not going to need cardboard glasses. Amen. So don't be putting on any sunglasses here. And I want to give you three examples, three different things, just three, that you can be full of tonight. And I'm going to use three men, and their name all starts with D. Amen. And number one tonight would be Demas. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look here for a second at Demas. At Demas. And the question for you tonight, and the thought, and the theme, and the title, and all that stuff has to do with this question right here. What are you full of? What are you full of? Verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing, he's about to be executed, and the things that a man says at the very end of his life are pretty important things. Amen. And he exhorts Timothy and charges him, amen, to preach the word. That's important. He wants the work to go on. He declares that he's ready and that he's finished his course and that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. That's on his thoughts, on his mind at the end of a life serving God. There's a testimony there for you and I. Here's something that's on his heart. Verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed under Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Boy, I'll tell you what, whatever it was, the degree of injury that was caused by Demas forsaking Paul, amen, the Bible says, having loved this present world, was of such a nature that it made it into the last chapter of Paul's life. Amen. Demas had forsaken me. My question is, what are you full of? Let me say to you tonight and use Demas as an example, an illustration of being full of the world. Full of the world. The thing that's significant about Demas is that he wasn't always that way. Amen. He wasn't always that way. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says this, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, you know that Luke was Paul's traveling companion. Amen. And was there with him on the missionary journeys, instrumental in being a blessing to him in his life. And but here you got Paul making a point to mention that Demas was also traveling with Paul and with Luke. And that's pretty good company to move in. I don't know what Demas' testimony was, where he came from. I don't know how long he'd been saved. I don't know the situation. The Scripture doesn't find it necessary to reveal that to us. But I would tell you what, he's in good company right here in Colossians chapter 4. That book, if the chronologist is accurate, was written around 64 A.D. Also that same year, his name's mentioned again in Paul's personal epistle to his friend Philemon. And it says in verse 24 of that book, it says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And again, you've got Demas in excellent company, amen, and he's called specifically, he's numbered amongst a group that are referred to as fellow laborers of the Apostle Paul. Now, what you got is, I looked that up, and I can only find seven men named in the New Testament that were fellow laborers. Now, we know that from Philippians chapter 4, there were probably more than that, and ladies too. Verse 3 of Philippians 4 says this, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I don't know how many there were, but seven are mentioned by name, and got Demas right there mentioned with them. That book there, that letter to Philemon, was also written in 64 A.D. What does that tell you? That tells you that Demas was right with God, serving God, running with the rightest men as far as God's concerned that were on the planet at the time. Again, he was in good company. But the Scripture records that this fella did not finish right. The Scripture records that he loved this present world. Well, I know for a while he was where he's supposed to be. He is in the right church. He was under the best preaching. He is exposed to the right Scripture. Something happened, man. And this guy's out. This guy's recorded in the Scripture as being out. And the reason is listed. Having loved this present world. That's serious enough that Paul felt it necessary to include that, and the Holy Spirit bore witness to it, and we just read it out of our Bible tonight. And that didn't come out of Josephus. That didn't come out of some history book about that era. This is Bible. Demas got full of the world. What a crying shame that that's what he's remembered for. Amen. He had a good start, but he didn't finish right. Can I say to you that it's way more important how you finish than how you started? Amen. The best way is get started young, saved young, in church, under the preaching. Amen. Surrender to God. Live for God. Have the guts to live for God. That's best case scenario. But I'm going to tell you what, some of us didn't get started like that. Some of us got started way late. Some of us got regrets taller than the Empire State Building. But by the grace of God, we can finish right. It's more important how you finish than how you started. But Demas didn't finish right. And the reason's recorded. The Bible says that he loved this present world. Listen, I believe Demas was saved. You know what that means? That's what I know. The Spirit of God in Demas didn't love this present world. His flesh did. Amen. This world doesn't appear to the Spirit of God. This world's adversarial to the Spirit of God. but not to that flesh. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, you and me have the exact same problem. When there's the Spirit of God, if you're saved, there's the Spirit of God inside of you that longs for God. But there's a flesh that's not saved. There's a flesh that's tempted. There's a flesh that's susceptible to the allurements of this world. You might be where you're supposed to be tonight. You might be washed in the blood of Christ. You might have a King James Bible on your lap. You might be in the right church. You better be careful. Because you could end up like this. You might be right in the right place now. But if you're not careful, you could end up. You can end up with a testimony like this. You don't think he left the revival meeting with the Apostle Paul and went down to a bar and just started. You don't think it went like that, do you? He didn't go from being a fellow laborer of our apostle, amen, and it's gradual. I'm going to tell you, say, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. He let his guard down. Somewhere along the way, he started relying on what he'd done, who he was running with, what he knew, and he started letting his guard down. And he ended up like that. I'm going to tell you what I'd say, it's safe to say, and this is surmising, but listen, I know this about these guys, Paul and Peter, they were men. I wouldn't doubt that if you'd have confronted Demas and said, hey, Demas, listen, you're starting to let some things into your life. You're starting to not do some of the things you know to do. Maybe it's pray. Maybe it's study. Maybe it's make the door-to-door visitation. Amen. Maybe it's make the trip, whatever it is. You'd have went to him and said, hey, Demas, we used to have a saying like this in Detroit. You pull a brother's coat when you see him heading the wrong way. Nobody likes that. See, that messes with your pride. Nobody wants your coat pulled because, hey, man, I got it under control. I wouldn't doubt that if you'd have went to Demas and said, hey, man, you better watch out. You're letting your guard down. You're letting your standards down. You're letting the world creep in. You're looking at what you ought not look at. You're listening to what you ought not listen to. Hey, Demas, the way you're going, you're on your way out. Well, being a man, if he'd have reacted the way we do sometimes, he probably would have been ready to fight. Won't happen to me. Who do you think you're talking to? Well, I know guys just like that. I know some guys where we try to preach a warning, an admonition out of the Word of God. Better be careful. Boy, they get mad. Preachers experience this all the time. They'll slam their Bible and they'll head out. Who does that guy think he's talking to? Talking to you and trying to help you. I mean, come on. You don't think preachers like me and Pastor Veach and Jack Pat, you don't think, Brother Ralston, you don't think we're in this for the money, do you? We left the money to come to this. I'm trying to help you from the Word of God. Well, don't you think some of the spiritual guys that Demas was running with, don't you think they saw the warning signs? Don't you think they tried to help their brother? Didn't work, though. Didn't help. Didn't matter. Brother Spurgeon, what do you see traveling around the country? I see folks that are the same way. Boy, if you implied to them that, you know, you're letting your standards down a little bit. You're letting some things in your life that God didn't please. Who do you think you are? There's empty pews all over America because of that mentality. I don't doubt for a second there's empty pews in this church right here that weren't empty 5 years ago because somebody didn't want somebody telling them, hey, you better be careful. You're letting your guard down. You listen to me tonight? You know, the message, the question is just this. What are you full of? Here we got a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, but his testimony at the end of his life is that he's full of the world. Say, why would you preach that? Don't want you to end up like that. Don't want you to end up like that. I'm going to tell you what, we live in a day and age where the casual attitude of Bible-believing Christians, casual attitude by this, I mean, we're letting the standards down. We're throwing separation from this world out. We know the book. We're saved by grace. We have the Holy Spirit. And we're losing some things that is destroying our testimony and our ability to win other people to Christ. I'm telling you the truth. You can't look like them, dress like them, walk like them, do everything they do, and then try to tell them there's something different about you. Now, we got the book, and we can go out on the street and give them the truth and win them to Christ. But where are they? I'm going to tell you what that tells me. There's a whole lot of people that we come back and give glorious reports about we saw saved. They ain't no more saved than that chair right there. Because there's no thirst for God in them. Where are they? We've got to be careful. Demas had a testimony at the end of his life of being full of this world. And I'm telling you what, you let your guard down. You might be in the right place under the right preaching now. You let your guard down. That could be your testimony. I speak the truth in love, beloved. I'm trying to help you. What are you full of tonight? Well, we live in a world that wants our attention, wants our affection, and we got a flesh that wants to surrender to it. And if we're not sober and vigilant, if we're not careful, that book says, but denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live godly, righteous, soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. But the temptation is not to. That's why the admonishment's there. Full of the world is a very realistic possibility for a strong, saved Bible believer to end up. And I'm going to tell you what, I got to fight against it every single day. And so do you. But the testimony in our churches, the empty pews are a testimony that some people either weren't fighting or they didn't win. My Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Now, God never lost anything, so it's not his fault. And if you say, I couldn't resist, no, you can never say, I couldn't resist. You just might have to admit you didn't. But you can't say couldn't, because that means God failed. And God don't fail. Amen. Boy, when that world starts creeping in, we got to get on our face and get it out. And ask God. I mean, instead of looking at each other and saying, well, so-and-so does this, and so-and-so dresses like this, and so-and-so goes there, so it must be all right. Whatever happened to going to God and saying, what would thou have me to do? What about that? Instead of comparing ourselves among ourselves, which the Bible says is not wise, why don't we just ask God? What about this, God? Is this okay? If I do this, if I go there, is this okay? I'm saved by grace, God. I've got liberty, God. Will this cost me the sweet peace of God? You know, there's people that can do some things I can't do. I might be able to do some things others can't do. I sold my motorcycle after I got saved. Well, all of them, the Corvette, everything went. What the feds didn't take, God made me get rid of. And guys will come into church and they'll say, Brother Spurgeon, you still got a Harley? And I'll say, no. And they'd say, there's nothing wrong with Harleys. And I'd say, I never said there was. But God told me to get rid of mine. I said, it sounds like God's dealing with you about something. You know, when a person's on a defensive, doesn't that tell you something? Boy, this is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's It's not a bunch of rules. It's not religion. What does that mean? Personal. That means you can go to God on an individual basis and say, God, what about this? And He'll talk to you. And He'll tell you. He'll impress it upon your heart. And that still small voice of God is there to help you. And what it'll do is steer you away from so you don't end up with a testimony like Demas. I don't want to go down like that. I don't want it to be recorded. Yeah, Spurgeon was an evangelist for a while, but he ended up back in the world. I didn't leave nothing back there, man. I don't want to go back. But I could. I could. My flesh would love to. See, it's the people that think it'll never happen to me. It could happen to you. That's why the Lord had me preach this tonight. Don't be thinking about who should have heard this. I don't pay $4 a gallon in a motorhome that gets 6 miles to the gallon. Yeah. To preach to people that aren't here. This message must be for you. Amen. God doesn't call people in evangelism to... You understand what I'm saying? This message is for us tonight, beloved. It's already been preached to me once today. Now I'm giving it on to you. Amen. Number one, full of the world. What are you full of? I hope it's not the world. I hope it's not this either. Third John. Let's read about a guy over in Third John. Look in verse 9. Say, when are you going to preach nice, cheery, uplifting messages? I don't know. I really don't have any. Maybe Thursday or Friday. I don't know. It's early in the week, right? No, I really don't have any. 3 John, verse 9. Look what it says. I wrote unto the church, John, the Apostle John writing, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, but forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Isn't that an impressive testimony? Love to have the preeminence. Well, I know a few people like that in my day. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 says this. Go ahead and turn there. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 1. Look at the context out of verse 13. Well, we'll read verse 13. Maybe we'll read the whole chapter. It's early, right?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Rawlinson drove 2.5 hours. See, he's not in a big hurry to get home like you guys are. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So there, now we're talking about his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Somebody should say amen right there. Good, I can't go on unless somebody does right there. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, that's who we're talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he, Lord Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. But you got a guy in a church holding a position in a church in a New Testament saved by grace church just like this. And his testimony is, he loveth to have the preeminence. The only person that deserves the preeminence is the Lord Jesus Christ. Preeminence means precedence, priority, superiority in rank, power, or influence. What was Diotrephes' testimony? He liked to be the center of attention. He was full of himself. Amen. Demas was full of the world. But the second D tonight, Diotrephes, he was full of himself. And there's a lot of warnings in the Bible about being full of yourself. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2 says this, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Boy, if there's something I've learned now, I've been a full-time evangelist for 11 years, and I guess when I got started, I thought I knew some things, and boy, the longer I'm saved, amen, the longer I'm preaching, the longer I read that book, boy, the more I realize that I don't know anything. Boy, the better he gets, and the stupider I feel. But I got a feeling that's the correct order. Because I know some guys that got to thinking they were real smart, and I don't know where they are now. The FBI couldn't find them with a warrant. But I'm glad tonight that I'm in church. And it isn't because I'm anything. It's because I know the one that's everything. Amen. And there's a lot of verses, amen, about pride. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. These are doctrinally applicable to you and I. Amen. And Proverbs even says, pride goeth before destruction. You know, that's true. That's true out there, and that's true in here. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Boy, I tell you what. Very dangerous thing, 2 Corinthians 12. Very dangerous thing tonight would be guilty of being full of yourself. I mean, you know, look in the mirror once in a while. I mean, you're not that impressive. I mean, I'm saying that from where I'm standing. Okay, I'm looking at you. Say, well, you ain't much to look at either. I know it, though. I know it. I don't even look in the mirror. I walk by the mirror like this. I shave with my eyes closed. Amen. Amen. Okay. One eye closed. Of course, I'm blind in one eye, so it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see what it says about the apostle. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. That means given more credit than he deserves, right? Through the abundance of the revelation. God revealed the gospel of the grace of God to Paul. Boy, if there's anything that might have a tendency to puff you up, would be for God to give you a mystery of a dispensation. That probably might have a tendency to make you start thinking you're somebody. And this book records, lest I be exalted above measure, due to the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. It says that twice. That's to keep Paul from getting proud. It's so important. The verse opens and begins with that thought, lest I be exalted. God gave him something, a thorn in the flesh, to keep him from getting proud. Because pride will take you down. It'll take you out. It'll cost your testimony. It'll destroy your family. Boy, Diotrephes, same guy, loveth to have the preeminence. The last thing you want to get full of tonight is yourself. Worst thing ever happened to a preacher is for us to start believing all the nice things people say about you. Yeah. Man, I've been to conferences and they'll stand up and brag, oh, this great man of God is going to... Nobody says that about me, but they'll say they'll brag about... Man, I'm going to tell you what. Your head starts going... Boy, that's the last thing anybody needs. Worst thing ever happened to anybody is to start believing all the nice things people say. This flesh ain't built to handle that thing. Boy, I tell you what, the thing that ought to make it easier for you and me is because we know the one that deserves the preeminence. If something goes right, amen, if something goes right in our life, if we get a blessing, we do a good business deal, say anything, man, give God the glory. Because you start thinking you're something, God, although He's patient, although He's long-suffering, don't make Him bring you down a notch. Because He'll do it out of love. Lest I be exalted a measure. Think the Lord loved Paul? I think so. But He gave him something. Gave him a thorn. Why doesn't it say what it is? Because your thorn and mine are the same. And I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. Thick head, I guess. I don't know. Proverbs 14:14 says this, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. With his own, let me ask you something tonight. Whose ways are you filled with? I'm preaching. What are you full of? Boy, we need to be full of His ways. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. But the book says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Boy, that's the way we were before we got saved. The backslider is a saved person. Amen. That ain't a lost person. That's a person that says they love God, know God, and are heading the wrong direction. And a good man, the verse says in Proverbs 14:14, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You know, we get a little, hey man, come on, let's face it, man. I mean, compared to the old days, I look pretty good. I mean, some of us, let's face it, man, we cleaned up pretty good, all things considered. No amens there, that's okay. Probably go to my head, amen. But we get a little Bible in us. We get some victory over some sin in our life. Amen. Maybe even get a little diploma to hang on a wall from Bible school. Win a couple people to Christ. Learn some verses. Skin them out there on the street, you know. Do that. Get some stuff like that on a belt. We start thinking, cleaned up pretty good. We're satisfied with ourselves. And the moment you get satisfied with yourself, you stop growing. You're satisfied. You're stuck. The Bible says a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You got to get yourself out of the way to ever scratch the surface of what God wants from you or wants of you, or what He wants to do with you. And you get full of yourself, and buddy, your spiritual growth has hit a brick wall right then. Say, is there any hope? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, thank God. You crucify that stinking flesh. You get on your face. You repent. Amen. You thank God for not killing you while you're so thick-headed. But you don't want to be full of yourself tonight. We got a New Testament example of a guy that was. And that's, it doesn't ever say he got right. I mean, these guys are in heaven, and we're talking about them. Well, what are they doing? Hanging our heads on this thing. Because it never turned around. That's how Diotrephes was remembered. That's how Demas was remembered. How are you going to be remembered? I hope not like that. I hope not full of the world. I hope not full of yourself. I mean, come on. You're not as impressive as you think you are. I like saying that. I'm up here. I can say that kind of stuff. I like that. All right, but we're not going to leave it on a note like that. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 13, and we'll give you the last one. D number 3. Now the Bible says, and I'm going to read one. You go to Acts 13. Ezekiel 22:30, familiar verse, says this. And I sought for a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. That's one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. God couldn't find one man. But that's the testimony of the state of Israel in the time of Ezekiel. And, yeah, that's terrible. Look at Acts chapter 13. And this happened before that. And it's recorded here in Acts. And it says this about Saul when he had removed him. Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, here's the testimony God gave of David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man. See, it said in Ezekiel 22, I sought for a man, but found none. But he found one in David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Demas was full of the world. Diotrephes was full of himself. But David's testimony is that he was full of God. Now here's what some people, as soon as you say the word David, here's the first thing that comes into mind. David messed up. David sinned. David was guilty of this. David was guilty of that. Yeah, but God doesn't keep throwing that stuff up in David's face. And you ought to be glad that he doesn't throw your little mistakes up in your face every time your name is mentioned. Because there's things said about David, there's a relationship David had that nobody else had. And wouldn't you rather him think about the positive things about you than just the negative? See, God's in the forgiving business. But our testimony, the proof of our testimony, you say David was a great man of God, and people think, well, yeah, but he did this and he did that. I'll tell you what, if you got that kind of spirit, that's what you're doing to each other, too. And again, let me say, aren't you glad God didn't do that to you? Well, maybe we should quit doing it to each other. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's just look at something about David. Full of God. I'll prove it to you. I mean, he had to be. David's facing Goliath. I hope you know the story. I'm tempted to read the chapter, but I'm not going to. Some of you are afraid I'm going to. 1 Samuel 17, and David's volunteered to do the battle with Saul and Goliath. And verse 37, he's talking to Saul. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The problem is, if Saul would have went, the Lord would have been with him. But he wasn't full of God. He is full of fear. Brother Pat already said, perfect love casteth out fear. David was full of God. He looked out there, he saw Goliath. He knew what he looked like. You know what that book says about him? Verse 4 of this chapter, chapter 17. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. Who's the tallest player in the NBA? Anybody got any idea? Just say it. I won't get you for being carnal. Who? How tall is he? How tall is the tallest NBA player? Anthony, help me out. How many? 7'6", pretty tall guy, huh? 6 cubits in a span is 9'6" tall. He'd be looking down at that guy, patting him on the head, say, go play, son. This is Goliath, 9'6" tall. David, David, he doesn't record. He's a big guy. He is just full of God. He saw that. It says, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head. If you're 9'6", you got a big head. You'd have to have a big head, so he's got a big helmet. Yeah. Amen. I told you, I'm deep preacher. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I tried to look that up. I tried to research that. Here's what I came with. Three commentators agreed that 5,000 shekels of brass weighed 156 pounds. That's his bulletproof vest. My son did three tours in Iraq carrying over 100 pounds of body armor. Amen. He's 5'7 or 5'8. Not a big guy. He's strong. This guy, his vest is 156 pounds. His spear was like a weaver's beam in the spearhead. It's on here somewhere. Weighed 600 shekels. That's 18 pounds. The head of the spear weighed 18 pounds. David's sitting there saying, little guy, let me at this punk. He's cussing God. He's cussing out the army of God. Let me at him. And they're all looking at him like, the whole army is scared to death of one guy. But one young man that's full of God said, let me at him. Amen. Next time you start thinking about Bathsheba and Uriah, why don't you start thinking about Goliath? Amen. Here's that in verse 43, chapter 17, verse 43. And here's what Goliath said when David's going out there to kill him. And a Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And a Philistine cursed David by his gods. His gods had that little G. Didn't mean much. That's one tall dog, I'd say. Verse 44, and a Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This guy was a man of war from his youth. He'd done this. He knew what he was talking about. He wasn't selling wolf tickets. He had done this. And he was ready to do it again. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And here's why. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why would they know that? Because the only way that what David said was could happen God made it happen. And that passage records that he ran at that guy and killed him with one stone. Full of God. There's no limit to what a person can do that's full of God. Boy, I tell you what, all the giants aren't passed off the scene, you know. I've faced a couple since I've been saved. You might be facing some kind of giant right now. Maybe something in your family. Maybe your finances. Who knows? But could I say to you? God did not break a sweat knocking Goliath out. And if we could get to where our faith in God and his promises. David didn't even have the book. we could put our trust and faith in what God has done and in what God says He'll do, if we could go to God as our first resort, like David did, not our last resort, God wouldn't have to break a sweat with the giants in your life either. As long as He knew that He would get the glory, there's no telling what He might do through you and with you to bring honor and glory to Himself. Full of the world, what did the world ever do for you? Give you bad habits to try to get victory over. Ruin your health. Give you nightmares. Let's face it. What being full of yourself, what's that going to do for you? The best I could do in 37 and a half years was a 5x7 metal box with somebody sticking a tray of food in twice a day. That was the best I could do. Boy, if we could just get full of God. And I can't see why not. I can't see why we can't. I can't see why we can't purpose to give God the glory for the good times and the bad times and the struggles and the valleys and the victories. And then whatever happens when it's over, well done. What are you full of tonight? You know what? I don't doubt for a second that Diotrephes, as well as Demas, at one time had a good testimony. But the scripture recorded how they finished. Now, notwithstanding the fact you're in church tonight, and I appreciate that, if your epitaph was written tonight, how would it record you finished? Amen? Something to think about. What would it say you were full of if it ended? Here's what we know. It's too easy to get full of yourself. Too easy to take the credit even for things God has done. It's too easy. The flesh is too prone to brag on itself. You got an ounce of ability or talent. I feel for musicians. Because God-given talent, musical talent, that's what it is, man. It's a gift of God. And it should be used to glorify God. And man, it speaks to my heart when it is. But boy, there's been some folks that got their start in a little church like this. And man, they're not, you can't even tell they're Christians now. Because they took that gift and they're not. We get full of ourselves. That Bible says in Proverbs 20, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's just the flesh. But a faithful man, who can find? Let me say to you as I close, don't feed that spirit that's in every one of us that God finds abominable. And that's pride. If you are, you're headed for a fall. Now, God's merciful, but you could save yourself a lot of trouble and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't make Him do it. Maybe your affections are starting to lean toward that world. And again, you got a flesh, that's where its affections always were. Maybe you need to nip that thing in the bud tonight. Maybe that's the part of the message that God had cut out for you tonight. And again, I acknowledge you're in church on a Monday night. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But if you're set your affection on things above, not on things here, if you're leaning that way, see, when it says a backslider in heart, you can be in church and your heart not be here. Starts here. If your affections are leaning that way, could I say to you, beloved, You need to nip that thing in the bud tonight. Right down here. Serious as a heart attack. David, it says, was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean he was perfect. He wasn't perfect. It's a good thing, because there wouldn't be any hope for us. My Bible says all flesh is grass. It's not said about anybody else, but I know what it does say. It says God's after yours. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Boy, and if God's got a heart, we're not going to be full of that world. If God's got a heart, we're sure not going to be full of ourselves. Amen? God's got a heart. Our families, this community's got a chance. If God's got our heart. Because we got what they need. Right there. Let's all stand. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. What are you full of tonight? Simple message. It's the only kind I got. It's the only kind that ever made a difference to me. What are you full of? One of the hymn writers wrote, "Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it." Well, I don't know about you, but I've been saved long enough to say amen and amen to that right there. And there have been times I've had to just stop dead in my tracks and rein this flesh in for either thinking more highly of itself than it should, or spending more time thinking about the things that are going on out there than the things that God would have me meditate upon. And I know this. You're just like me. Now you come tonight, you come with a heart to get something from God. I hope God gave you something. I hope He did. I really did. I hope you're encouraged. But maybe what He had for you was a little reproof. A little reproof, a little warning. Saying, you know, time to get back on track a little bit. You're starting to stray. You're trying to wander a little bit. Maybe the message tonight is to help you get that thing back on track and realize there's a little more to Bible Christianity than just showing up at church. There's a lot more to Bible Christianity than just showing up at church. Millions of Americans show up at church faithfully, and they don't even believe the Bible. We've got to be different. And to get victory over our flesh and over this world, we need God. Whatever the need tonight, however God might have spoken to your heart, speak back to Him. Acknowledge Him. Pray. If you need to come, the altar's open. Piano player can come. Brother Pat can come. You can finish the invitation any way you want. But I want to say this to you. If the Lord's tugging to your heart over any of this, why don't you do business with God tonight? Don't wait until you get back out your car and turn on your radio. Don't wait until you get out in traffic and somebody cuts you off. The message will be gone. The devil, you'll be robbed of what God's trying to do right now for you. So if it's in your seat, you can just kneel right there and pray. You can bow your head and pray. But pray if you need to address anything going on here tonight. If you need to come up here, I'll pray with you. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, boy, this would be a good night for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the saving business. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm so glad, because I'm so qualified. Maybe you need to let somebody open the Bible and show you how you can know your sins are forgiven. Boy, we'd be happy to do that tonight. Whatever the need, would you let God meet it tonight? Take a moment, meditate, pray. Brother Pat, when you're ready, you come. You can give him a song. You can close it any way you want. But let's do business with God for a few minutes tonight.
Just keep our heads bowed right now and let the Lord deal with us. Nothing to add to that. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. So what am I full of tonight? There's something else besides God in there. Let's do like what Brother Paul said. Let's just not be stirred. Let's be changed. Let's just put the other thing down and just make all the room for God. You can pray in your seat. You can come down here. We'll sing a song, but don't wait for the music. You don't need an emotional experience or some kind of sensual experience to do business with God.
That's right.
God was in the still, small voice, not in the earthquake, not in the thunder. And I know the bell was rung tonight. I know that God told me, you got to put yourself down, Pat. You got to put some stuff down. If there's something you got to put down, something you got to empty out, so that you might be a vessel, meet for the Master's use and full of Him. Just put it down right now. You'll be thankful that you did. We're going to turn to 394 in the hymnal. I'm going to sing some of this, and if you want to continue in prayer or you want to come forward, you do what you want to do, but what the Lord would have you do. But 394, we'll sing I Surrender All. 394, and if you still want to come, you come. 394.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Closing prayer. Remember, Maurice.
Amen.
And the pastor down to
the hospital. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for your warnings, Father. We know that chastening isn't joyous but grievous, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And Lord, myself included, nobody can say You didn't warn us when we get to that judgment seat of Christ. We knew what we had to do, and I know what I have to do. If there's someone here tonight, Lord, who is still holding on to some kind of mammon, their self or the world, oh God, in Your tender mercies, Lord, help them have the grace to put it down. Because that grace can only come from You. Lord, thank You for the message tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the body of Christ tonight. Lord, we are going to close. And we'll remember Brother Maurice, Pastor Mike. And we know Your mercies are already at work, Father. We know Your faithfulness never ceases and never yields. And we can rest in that. But we do ask, Father, even though You know the petition, You said, let Your request be made known unto God. Because we need You. We're not ashamed to say it, Lord. As David said, I am poor and needy, but the Lord heareth me. And Father, Your ears are open unto our cry. And Lord, we pray You would raise up our brother Maurice to send him back on that mission field, more full of God than ever.
Yes.
And that You bring Pastor and Maurice back home safely, and I rejoice with You and in You. And Lord, protect us as we go home. Help us not to forget this moment, Lord. Help us to leave down what we put down. And Lord, help us tonight, and if tomorrow comes, Lord, help us to start with Your word and fill ourselves up with the good stuff, Lord. Help us to keep the other things out, Lord. We need Your help so desperately. Help us to not be complacent Christians. Help me, Lord, not to just be a Sunday, Wednesday Christian, Lord, and be complacent with that or be satisfied with myself. Oh, God, make us different. Make us a peculiar people. Make us real Christians according to Your word and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, that You might be pleased to look back at us and see Your Son. We thank You for these things, Lord. We give You all the credit, because it's all of You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The baskets are in the back if you want to leave an offering. And Lord willing, we'll see you back tomorrow night. Amen.
Amen.